St. Kevin's College is a Christian Brothers school in Ballygall, Glasnevin. Your hosts are Carl Mooney, Scott Curran, and Paul Smith from Transition Year. We are joined by Christopher Carroll from First Year. Christopher Carroll writes and illustrates short stories. He will tell us about what got him into writing and creating. Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, when did you start writing?
Well, I've always had an interest in it. Like, I've enjoyed doing it, but for a long time, I would have something and I'd set it and I'd start doing it, but then I wouldn't like it, and instead of trying to fix it, I'd just get rid of it. So for a long time, I'd write, but then it wouldn't take long for me to stop, and then it would take a long time. So only about this year I kind of properly set myself into it.
And do you see yourself as an author in the future?
Maybe. Like, I wouldn't, like, with the books, I know when after they've been printed and people have looked at them, I know there's a lot of things I could fix. So I know, like, if I ever wanted to do anything like that, I'd have to fix a lot of things first before I properly got into it.
And once you do it more, those things will kind of smoothen themselves out over the years, you know, once you get more used to it. As you said, you're only starting recently to fully develop your books.
Yeah.
And who inspired you to start?
Any favourite writers?
Well, there's people like my granddad Paddy. He really got me into it, because he was into writing himself. So whenever we'd be in his house, I'd have something there, and he'd be sitting there, and he'd love it. He'd be sitting there really complimenting me on it. And for a while, he actually he tried to get me into things. Like, there'd be something like a short story competition in a newspaper or something, trying to get me into it. Like, he was really supportive with it, and I did like that. And then just people like Rodal. I really like people like Rodal and Michael Morforgo. I like people like his kind of writing, so I'd read a lot of his books to get inspiration.
What's your favourite book, like, because you seem to read a lot of books, so what would be your favourite?
Pick a few if you can.
Yeah, go on.
I have a few.
Any order?
There'd be 2 seconds, I just need to think now that it's on the spot. I like Witches by Rodal. I like that because the way he writes it, like, because I think he's trying to make them, like, give them different accents. So he writes it as in they have an accent, and it's funny to read. Then, what'd there be? There was a book called Running Wild by Morcombe Myforgo, and it's like there's a kid who goes, and it's like this whole backstory with his dad and how he lost his dad, and then they go on a holiday to like calm down and take a break, and then there's a tsunami and he's on an elephant and they run into the jungle.
It's quite a jungle.
And it's a whole like adventure story, and I like it because it's like with his kind of writing, that's why I like him, because he does a lot of research before he goes into his things. Like, that was an actual event that happened to someone, but the only thing was they didn't know where the child went. So then that's his bit of you make it up. Like, you make up that's what happened. You don't know, so.
Would you read a lot of books?
Yeah. Indeed, yeah. Like, I have, like, 3 big shelves of books and in my room that I probably all read.
I have to say, I don't read many books, but I was quite partial to 50 Shades. Great book.
I haven't read that on my shelf, by
now. It was a good read.
A read.
I went to the 50 Shades.
Good read, I have to say. I read all of them.
Lots of detail.
So I was a big fan of 50 Shades Freed. I really liked that one. Yeah.
Really?
Darker wasn't the best, though.
So, but actually, tell us about your book.
Away from me. Back to you, Christopher.
Please, back to
Go
you.
Go on.
Tell us about your book.
Yeah, tell us about your book.
So, I like, when I was getting into this, my mum actually messes with me. She says whenever I draw something or something, she goes, that's going in the portfolio for the therapist. Because all my stuff is like weird flesh things with eyes and big mouths. And I wanted to, when I was getting into books, I was like, I want to set my stuff on that. So then when I was doing that, before I actually went and started writing, it has no context before I explain, I'm an atheist.
Okay.
And I don't believe in God or anything like that. So when I was getting into it, I actually wanted to incorporate religion. So, like, there'd be stuff like people, no one knows, like, people say, like, an angel looks like a woman with wings or whatever. I made it a big flesh thing with, like, weird, creepy dead wings and, like...
Yeah, like the biblical version.
Yeah, biblical, but I twisted it. And then I'd get a lot of inspiration for like characters and stuff. Like people, like it sounds kind of disgusting, but people like murderers and stuff like that. Because
so I'm guessing you're a horror right now. It doesn't sound like the most happy fantasy world
ever. No, God, you don't hand this to a 5-year-old and go have a little read of that.
Oh yeah,
they'd be traumatized.
Relax on Sunday afternoon.
But I'd done a lot of looking into things before I started, and then when I started, I had a little notebook that was just notes. So I'd be sitting there and I'd be like, I don't know where I want to go with it and this, and I'd sit there and I'd just flick through it, and then I go, aha, I like that. And then I put that in my words. Mm. Like, I'd write it as like a little thing, like maybe it'd be like an example. It could literally be like, kill someone off, as a little write, like a little 3 words. But then I know I can work that in my head to make that into like a few paragraphs.
A little notebook, that's the writer's friend, because you never know when a good idea is going to pop into your head. You don't want to lose it.
Yeah,
you never know when you'll find a little major plot point outside of your little notebook.
No.
So you have a book there in front of us, you can see it, but tell us about that book there.
It's called The Town, and I have to admit, I don't really like the title, I think I'd change it. And it's basically, there's two, at the start of it, there's two kids, Emily and Ben, and they're going off with their dad to a farming community for, well, he calls it business. And when they're there, they go live with the Partons. I actually took inspiration from Dolly Parton there. And they're like, they live in the house, and it's real country. Like they're all fields, big houses, farm and tractors, all the stuff like that. But when it comes to things like dinner and something like that, it's always meat. There's nothing else. There's no vegetables, no fish. There's not even really water. It's just meat. When the character Emily is looking into it, she's a confused at first. She's like, why would you only eat meat? But then when she eats it, it's like, it's so succulent. Like, I tried to use describing words there, like succulent and meat juices spraying everywhere. Like, it's real, like, it's trying to make it out the best thing it can
real
possibly
nice.
Be.
Yeah.
And then, like, you turn into a savage when you're eating it. You literally, like, you can't stop.
Hannibal Lecter.
Bit like Nicado Avocado, but like,
dear God.
But like, vile. Like, you just get into it and you can't stop eating it. And then when you move on from that, and then it gets into the religion side of it, because then they go into, like, there's the church, and there's like, again, names. Like, I took things like cardinals and bishops and stuff like that and incorporate into them. So instead of like a priest, there's the bishop, and then there's the cardinals who would work below him. So they went to like do a church meeting thing, and they done the whole talking about their lord, who they call, which is like a big titan, like it's a big flesh titan, and they've loads of like tapestries on the walls which are like explaining where it came from and stuff. And when she's sitting, the little character Emily, she's the main one that you kind of look from her perspective, and she's looking at it, and she just makes no sense, because she's like, this is really weird. Like, it really doesn't make sense. I wanted to make something that was kind of alien, something that no one would get. Like, well, obviously you read it, you get it, but I mean, like, you're not just going to randomly come out and go, I believe in a giant flesh titan. Like, it's a bit of a...
Would you believe if I told you there's a religion called Pastafarianism, where they look to their god is a giant mound of pasta?
Oh, I know this, because then there's Raptor Jesus.
Yeah.
He's my lord and saviour.
I've been invicted into that by one of our friends. It's a great religion. Are you in there, Paul?
No. I'm an avid Catholic. You can never.
And then after this, when you go to the church, she begins to investigate, because she's not listening to any of them. But I kind of took inspiration from myself. She's an atheist herself, so she doesn't, like, never mind Jesus Christ. She doesn't believe in this giant flesh time thing. So she goes off walking on her own, and then it starts to get gory, because then you find she goes into a little room in the back, and there's a bunch of dead bodies, but like they're real mangled and they're no skin, and like. Then there's like the actual, who the priest should be, is like nailed to a chair, and it's like he's rotten and everything. And
don't spoil the end on us now.
Well, yeah. So then there's all of that, and then it incorporates back to, then you meet the big lord thing, and then you learn about the meat and where all that comes from, and it slowly gets worse and worse, as you might find it. And then, how would I word this? I find this hard to word, it's a bit hard. So then when they start to get into it, and they begin investigating, and when they're into it, it's figured out that their dad, his business is working under the, like, they, he brings them the bodies, he brings them the things that they need, and when he's there, he sneaks out one night and they follow him, and then that's where the Messiah gets met. And the Messiah is basically like, I thought, like, in other way, like, there's Jesus and there's like the Father, the Holy, the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
it's like he split himself. So he split himself into objects that he can send and do his bidding. So one of them is like this big well, and it's like he just comes out of it, and he's a big flesh blob, literally. He's a big blob with like a, like, he gets a bit more refined up, so like he's horns and stuff like that, but he's literally just a giant flesh blob. And then it gets into that he works for them and he's killing people and feeding them, and then the dad I done a lot of research, and there's just this, he gets this snippet of just, this is wrong.
I can see why. Yeah.
That's why I look at murderers and stuff like that, because then there's the ones who just go, I know that's wrong. So he just gets that little snippet, like that little second of just, I don't think I should be doing this, and he's instantly put down. It's literally like you can't say anything that's against what they ask.
Right.
So,
can I just ask something? What process do you go through before you write a book? Like what?
So, well, first I look at, with the whole religion sense, I do kind of sketch first. I sketch in what they want them to look like, how they're going to act, what, like, to know, like, if I'm writing something, I want to know how they look to move. So, like, if I have the big flesh blob thing, I need to know when they need to use words like it's blobby and it slides along, because you can't just say it walks along. You need to be descriptive, so you sketch it out to know how it's going to move, how it's going to act. And then I'd, that little notebook again, I'd sit there and maybe, like, it could just be randomly, like, I could be sitting in the middle of a restaurant and I'll just pull out and I'll start going, and you'd write a little dialogue. You'd write a little, like, you don't even write a chapter, it could be like a paragraph that's literally just that you'd want to have, and then when you're actually writing it, you know to fix. So, like, you could write that really quick, and then when you're sitting down typing it, you know to start fixing things, changing it, adding things to it, like making it sound better. And then there's just the little notes that I keep, and then I just get into it. And it sounds kind of bad. I nearly lock myself in my room to write, because I don't like any distractions. Like, I nearly get distracted too quickly. Like, it could literally be the boiler going off, and I'll stop because it's annoying me. So I have to lock myself nearly in my room with no distractions or sounds.
That's the writer's dream. That's where all the creative juices start flowing, in the dark room.
And then it doesn't help when your mom goes, time for dinner, and you're like, no.
Sounds like me playing the Xbox. I'm like a little gremlin upstairs.
And are you working on anything at the moment?
Yeah, that's the first one, The Town, and then there's the second one, which is Everyone is Happy, and then I'm currently writing the third one, which I'm deciding on a title. I don't have it, but it's a hospital. It's based on a hospital.
Planning on publishing anything?
I wouldn't know. If I'm honest, I don't know where to begin. Like, I wouldn't know where to go, look for. And it does help. There's a, in school, there's one of the teachers, Mr. McDonald, and he publishes books himself.
Oh yeah.
So he nearly knows. But it's nearly like you, because he's a teacher, you can't sit down with him and just go, tell me what I need to do.
Exactly, yeah.
So you need to catch him. Or then, as I said, like, I've done my own research, but it makes it so confusing.
Yeah.
Like, they use all these processes, but then they're nearly mix and match, and they're all different, and you're like, oh, I don't know, I wouldn't know where to begin.
It's possible to publish when you're underage. There's a lot of publishing studios who do let you put out books.
Mm.
The only problem is, when you're underage, is if you do want to get money from it, then that's a difficult process. That would usually have to go through maybe your parents.
I'm not looking for the money, but
it's a bonus, you know.
It's a bonus,
yeah.
Scott, you did a bit of a novel writing yourself. What did you?
Yeah, well, I've recently, the way I write is I don't finish anything. So I'd have five big long ones that would be a good like 100 A4 pages through, and then I just forget about them one weekend, and then that'd be the end of it. So I don't have your drive, I'd say, to actually finish a book and commit to it yet. So give me a few tips now. How do you not get bored on one of your books?
Well, first of all, if you have all your plots, like, I mean, no, like, you can't, like, and at the same time, like, as much as you can have them written out, you can't just, like, You're not a robot. You're not going to go, this happens, then this happens, then this happens. You need to make it flow. So I'd nearly... How would it be explained? Like, you nearly go and finish every chapter on a cliffhanger, but not so much cliffhanger, like, that's it, that's the end. You ended on a cliffhanger, because then, like, I could do that myself. Like, it would be so easy to just one weekend go, oh, I'm not in the mood, and then and then I 2 months later I'm still not in the mood. But if you leave it on a cliffhanger, in your brain you'd nearly want to, like, I know you're writing it, but in your head you nearly go, oh, I want to know what happens. So then you go, okay, I might have, like, and then it nearly goes into, oh, I'll do one more, I'll do one more, and then you just, by the end, you're done. So
DCU has a great writing course, actually, if you're interested in that.
Did it?
There's one of the things that I've seen a lot with people is writing has started, actually, it's been on a comeback, as you know, the past 10 years. People are saying, oh, no one reads, writes, all these kids just sit on the games and all. But it has had a massive resurgence the past 2-3 years, especially with quarantine.
And I have to admit, it doesn't help with the, and I'm not saying that kids shouldn't, like, I get if you enjoy things like PlayStations, computers and stuff like that, but then there's the ones who are sitting there for, like, all into all hours of the night doing that, and they're like, he's pointing at you, so I don't know, he's pointing at you.
I'm the things
that I think set people back, that then when they come in, and it's not even just reading at home, like, it's actually easier to read at home, but then even in school, it's like, I know, obviously, you're not looking to read, like, if they hand you a page and they're like, read and answer questions on that, you're not choosing to read it, which is already bad enough, but then if you don't have enough, like, experience with kind of sitting and reading, you're not going to be paying attention, and you're not going to be, and you're supposed to enjoy it, and you're not going to be enjoying it if you are constantly thinking about what you're going to be doing on your PlayStation the next day.
Yeah, I think it's just modern media as well has made that particularly hard to do. But anyway, we'll move on from that now.
So I think that's about all we have time for. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
And thanks for everyone who's listened. And we'll see you next time on the St. Kevin's College Students Podcast.